Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Tune in to Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and practitioner who's helped thousands transform their lives. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff will lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Welcome to the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host. You can listen to Heart Living on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday at 2 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Boston and worldwide. You may also listen online or on your mobile devices. To learn more, go to dreamvision7radio.com for a full schedule. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is a media partner for Omega Institute. Thanks so much for tuning into our show today. Our topic is dreams as a healing tool. I love this topic. I've worked with my dreams for many years, and I was fortunate to have 7 years of dream analysis with the Jungian analyst, who really taught me so much. So in this hour, we'll talk about our dreams, and we'll talk about not only our dreams, but sleep patterns, 13 significant dreams that are considered spiritual dreams, and so on. So our dreams are really an amazing opportunity, really, to look closely at ourselves as a dreamer. And we can learn a lot about ourselves through our dreams. So we'll learn about ourselves physically at times, psychologically, spiritually. And so often the information that we're able to get through our dreams is not available to us in any other way. So that's, you know, probably the most important reason that we should pay attention to our dreams. And it has been shown that if a person is consistently sleep deprived, that they may in fact suffer mentally, not only physically, but of course mentally. So if you don't remember your dreams, that isn't necessarily an uncommon thing, but it doesn't mean you're not dreaming, because you're going to be dreaming either way. So sleep itself, the stages of sleep, sleep is necessary for your mental health and for your physical health. And dreams are really a tremendous way for us to access information, as I mentioned, deep inside ourselves. So having said all that, today I'd like to start with some historic information about dreams, various characteristics that dreams have, and lead into talking about different methods of interpreting, as well as some tips for recalling dreams, types of dreams, and so forth, and you know what those dreams might mean. So let's get started with some historic information about dreams. So I don't know whether you're familiar with the concept, but in certain cultures, sleep was considered to be a little death of sorts. And I know that sounds odd to say it that way, and I've always found that interesting. But the idea is, in those cultures, people thought that the dream world was another physical world that people actually went into. And certain societies believed that dreams held prophetic messages, you know, from the human psyche. And just as a quick aside, I want to say what the word psyche, which is P-S-Y-C-H-E, what does it actually mean? It's considered to define or represent the totality of the human mind. So in other words, your conscious and your unconscious, as well as subconscious mind. So again, that's psyche, P-S-Y-C-H-E. Now, in certain societies, it was believed that the human psyche of a person was made up of multiple souls. And that's a really fascinating concept. But these multiple souls, you know, all of which separate and have different experiences in your sleep state that we're calling dreams when we're awake. Isn't that a cool concept? And I'm going to start with ancient Egypt and what was believed there. In ancient Egypt, it was believed that the gods only spoke to people through dreams. Okay, so if you had a dream, the god was speaking to you. The priests built shrines where people who were found to have special dreaming abilities could sleep and dream. So there were actually shrines where people could go to sleep and dream, these people with these special abilities. And they would then receive, of course, messages from the gods in their dreams, and that would help other people as well as themselves. So these shrines were often decorated with statues of what was called the Egyptian god of the dead. So again, that's some cultural information that I've always found interesting. Now, throughout history, Homer, through Plato, taught that dreams were vehicles for actual spiritual manifestation. So people who paid attention to their dreams, who recorded their dreams, who also had amazing dreams, were said to be working through a kind of spiritual manifesting process. And again, the Greeks considered dreams to be messages from the gods. So it was interesting, all of this, because people of all classes, and this would be, you know, from kings to merchants to paupers for that matter, were able, it was believed, to gather information that could be interpreted in their dreams. Now, to start out, Aristotle was the first to introduce the idea that dreams were not messages from the gods, okay? So but when he started speaking, he said, no, dreams are not messages from the gods. He actually taught that dreams were the mind's effort simply to process the events of life. And also, Aristotle said that they reflected, again, back to what we said about the psyche, the dreamer's psyche, again, conscious and unconscious mind. Additionally, and interestingly, Hippocrates, who was the founder of modern medicine, believed that dreams could facilitate the diagnosis of human illness. And that is something that I studied as well, which is really amazing. So this, with Hippocrates, this was an important breakthrough, because if we could figure out our dreams, you know, the idea was we could maybe receive the answer to what's going on with us, to the illness, or even understand that an illness existed at all. Now, of course, if we take the Bible is rich with references to dreams in which God reveals himself to certain chosen people. But what about a non-Western kind of dream interpretation? So in some cultures, including many Native American, African, and Australian Aboriginal tribes, they have always used dreams as a way to share what they call a collective spirit memory. So people would get together in groups in order to interpret each other's dreams together, believing that the message was for the collective or for the group itself. So, you know, a person might have had the dream, but the collective itself shared in that dream so they could understand the power that it held or the message that it held for the group itself. And Native Americans in particular believed that dreams were part of the spiritual system and provided a way for the dreamer to contact supernatural spirits. But also in Native American culture, it was believed that you could gain power from your dreams. So dreams were also used to predict the future. You know, somebody might have a dream where they would apply it to something that might happen in the future. And I know in my study of dreams, some Aboriginal rock paintings actually show images from the dream time. And so that's kind of a neat thing to think about. According to Native American culture, dreams reveal secrets, which is kind of cool, about the physical world and the spiritual world. So again, this is another reason it was so, so popular. Now, in more modern times, there have been numerous writers and artists and musicians who have actually credited their dreams as the inspiration for their work. And this is very fascinating. So I wanted to share a few examples. There was a writer, and he was a famous writer, Samuel Taylor Coleridge. And he said that his famous poem, Kubla Khan, actually came from a dream that he had. And he created the poem from that dream. Obviously, you've heard many times of Albert Einstein. And Albert Einstein is said to have received the basis of what was called the theory of relativity. He believed the basis of it came to him in a series of dreams. And again, another fascinating concept. A famous artist, Salvador Dali, said his dreams inspired his artwork. Another artist, Picasso, actually, said that his artwork was inspired by his dreams. Robert Louis Stevenson wrote Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, which again, he said was from his dreams. And as far as music goes, Mozart and Beethoven both said that their music often was inspired by the dreams they had. There is a more famous recent person, Paul McCartney, who said that his song Yesterday was derived from a dream that he had. So obviously dreams have the purpose of providing us with a way to tap our unconscious self and just to receive daily guidance in general. Now, before we get into different types of dreams, let's talk about sleep stages and cycles, because this is kind of not only interesting, but just helpful to kind of get an idea. So actually, there's considered to be a progression of 5 sleep stages, and this is what I was taught. So 5 sleep stages. Okay, stage 1. This is a stage of very light sleep in which the sleeper may have what is actually called an hallucinatory experience. You've thought perhaps or had before the sensation of falling, you know, that type of like hallucinatory experience. That would generally occur at the beginning stage of light sleep. And I don't know if you have had it or not, but I certainly have had it at one time or another. Now, after this stage 1 happens, this light sleep, which doesn't have an exact time on it, but about 5 minutes, let's say, after the stage 1 sleep, there is a stage 2 sleep. And this is intensifying the sleep, takes, they say, about 20 minutes. And it's not anything specific that's designated as something you're doing, but it's just that the sleep is getting more intense. Then you go through stage 3, which is a very brief couple of minutes transition, and then you get into what is called stage 4 sleep. Now, this is a stage of very, very deep sleep, and this, believe it or not, is where sleepwalking, sleep talking, and night terrors and so on can actually occur. And during stage 4, and this is probably more important than anything, a growth hormone is actually released into the body, and this is considered the stage in which bodily tissues are repaired. So stage 4 lasts about a half hour, and to heal, it's believed you have to go into stage 4 sleep. And again, just significant to know this. Then there's stage 5, and after stage 4, the sleep goes back through stages 3 and then 2, and then it goes into stage 5. Excuse me. But instead of waking up, it will enter the fascinating sleep stage of what is called REM. Now, REM is R-E-M, an acronym for rapid eye movement. Again, REM is rapid eye movement. So a person in REM sleep has brain waves similar to a waking state. Breathing can be more rapid. Blood pressure can get higher. However, the body can also feel paralyzed. And this is believed to happen so the dreamer can't actually act out the dream. So now that you understand these stages and cycles a little better, we can change gears and look at characteristics that are common to dreams in general. I think that would be the next best thing to look at. So you know that dreams have fascinated all types of people, from writers to researchers to doctors, for thousands of years. And some of that research has shown us that there are 5 basic characteristics of dreams in general. Number 1, the first characteristic is that dreams frequently contain intense emotions. Okay, so they most likely will contain intense emotions. So one major characteristic of dreams is that the emotions that we experience in dreams not only can be intense, but they can actually create scary or even painful material for the person who's having the dream. And it's not uncommon for people to report that they've even dreamed about deeply embarrassing situations. One of the standard sort of classic examples of that is that you show up in a dream and, you know, you're in the grocery store and you look down and realize either you don't have clothes on or you've got your pajamas on or something crazy. Or you can have a profoundly scary event like, you know, you have a gorilla chasing you in the dream, or there's, you know, just a very frightening person that you encounter. So whatever the situation is, of course, emotions would become intense if that were happening, and they can interrupt the dream itself. They could cause you to wake up abruptly so that you get out of the situation. But the 3 most common emotions that become intensified by dreams are said to be fear, anxiety, and surprise. So again, fear, anxiety, and surprise. Now, the second of these types. So another characteristic is that strange or weird content in dreams, during the dream, is like it's accepted without question, you know, because you're in a state that you don't have that rational state going on. So what is interesting is that when we dream of odd events and content that occur in dreams, as a dreamer, we typically accept what we're dreaming without any question in that state that we're in while we're dreaming. Another way to say it, it's as though within the dream, these strange and usually illogical events and perceptions and things like that come up or happen, not, and they're not seen as being out of place. You know, but of course, if we remember the dream upon waking, the content of the dream will then, of course, in our waking state be seen as really odd or difficult to explain or whatever, you know, just chaos in some ways. A third characteristic. So this third interesting point is that dreams are frequently disorganized in general and often illogical. So in addition to dreams that seem to be fragments, just little pieces that don't make any sense, you know, they're disorganized, illogical. Dreams can also have so many inconsistencies and ambiguities that things can be truly bizarre, you know, in the dream. And research shows that one of the sort of trademarks of dreams is content and organization that is illogical, or situations in general in which even the natural laws of the universe are said not to be obeyed. You probably have had a dream before where you have been flying, right? Or you've been about to fall off a cliff and you catch yourself, you know, things that wouldn't really happen. Or you time travel, or you can even shift into something or someone that you are not, or someone with you can shift into someone that person is not. I recall once a friend telling me that she had a dream that she was getting married, and when she got up to the altar, she looked over and the person that she thought she was marrying pulled off a mask, and it was someone else that she would never marry, and she was really, really upset. So I'll never forget that dream, because I thought, wow. And she then realized that it was about what she was accepting in her life and so on. So, you know, there was a point to it, but it certainly seems like an illogical thing to have happened. Now here's a fourth characteristic. It is very hard usually to remember our dreams. And, you know, what about remembering your dreams? Well, you've probably found that access to the information contained within the dream diminishes rapidly once you're awake. You know, you're awake, and a few minutes after you're awake, you think you're going to remember it totally, and then boom, suddenly, you know, you don't remember anything. So that's sort of how it goes with dreams. But the dream can be vivid and you think you're not going to forget it, but you typically do. So research on dreams shows that approximately 95% of all dreams are forgotten entirely upon awakening. And the last characteristic here, number five, is that often there are weird sensations that people experience in a dream. You may have had in the past the sensation of falling. So, you know, that would be the example, like we said, where you're going to fly, but also just kind of a falling. Or let's say you're in a dream and someone comes towards you in the dream and suddenly you cannot move. Like you're totally unable, you feel frozen solidly and cannot move, or unable to control any of your normal movements of your body. These would be characteristics of the kinds of reported sensory experiences that can occur in a dream state. So again, those are the five overall characteristics. Now, what about tips for a good night's sleep and good dreams? Well, again, many people say they don't dream, but I want you to keep in mind it's not that you don't dream, if that, you know, would be your story. It's that you don't think you're dreaming, or you just don't remember your dreams, but you would be dreaming. So the tips that I'm going to share are really just suggestions that you can find in a lot of studies about dreams. You could easily go online and know that many people say the same thing. But these are literal pointers that have been researched to help you remember your dreams. So it's believed that if you refrain from alcohol for at least 3 hours before bedtime, that's your wisest thing to do, because alcohol tends to disturb your natural sleep cycle. And it decreases the time that you're spending in the REM sleep. Remember, rapid eye movement sleep. And that's the first important point, is not, you know, to refrain from alcohol for at least 3 hours before sleeping. And also, of course, you would want to avoid caffeine before bedtime anyway, because most of us, you know, would stay awake. But it's believed, even people that say, oh, I can drink caffeine and go to sleep, caffeine itself as a substance can interfere with your REM sleep. So you don't want to, you know, have caffeine before going to bed. It can be helpful to drink a warm glass of milk or eat a piece of turkey, because both of them contain an amino acid called tryptophan, which causes drowsiness and relaxation. And I always think of those times on Thanksgiving Day when everybody's had the turkey and they're all sitting around falling asleep as they're watching television. You probably have that in your home as well. At any rate, you know, the warm glass of milk, the turkey, that does help you to become more drowsy and relaxed. Now, the fourth one, of course, don't smoke at all, but especially if you would be a smoker several hours before sleeping, you want to stop smoking or not smoke because it will increase your heart rate and actually your blood pressure. Okay, so five would be, another tip would be avoid any kind of strenuous exercise at least 2 hours before bedtime. Even if that's a long, you know, vivid walk that you take before bedtime, because it does fill your body with adrenaline, any kind of big exercise. So finally, one thing you can do is take a warm shower or bath, and that's actually my favorite, since it makes your blood rush to the surface of your skin. It makes it actually easier to sleep. And certain aromatherapy substances like lavender oil, essential oil, that can actually make you drowsy, and you can use that in your bath water. Rosemary oil is also soothing and relaxing. Sometimes people spray lavender spray on a pillow. I know there are even products out there like lotions that contain lavender, so it helps people sleep better. But as we're speaking about relaxing, we do need to consider how often dreams themselves can reflect our own anxieties. So, you know, dreams in which we worry about things are very common, and this worry and this anxiety that we feel in dreams may seem to be about something insignificant, but have nothing to do with reality. So we will talk about that. But right now we're getting ready to take a break. It is time for this break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for Omega Institute. For more information, go to dreamvision7radio.com. And we'll be back soon for further tips on dreams as a healing tool.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book. Have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Join us every Wednesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living.
Would you like to become a certified Reiki teacher? Join Reiki Master Brett Bevel at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York for Reiki Master Training and Certification. In this weekend workshop, you'll explore advanced Reiki practices that enhance psychic ability, as well as techniques that allow one individual to send Reiki healings to many people simultaneously. Mention discount code DREAM for 20% off when you register for Reiki Master Training and Certification with Brett Bevel, October 25th to 27th. Learn more at eomega.org.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Join us in May and we'll waive the daily fees. Located in Rhinebeck, in New York's beautiful Hudson Valley, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. That's 877-944-2002.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dream Vision 7 Radio. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff of The Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff Show. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for Omega Institute. Our topic is dreams as a healing tool. So we spoke right before the break about our anxieties being reflected in our dreams, and let's take a look at that. So dreams are almost always connected in some way with our daily lives, and our subconscious uses symbols rather than straightforward imagery just to get a point across. So it is important to examine your dreams closely so that you can discover areas in your life about which, you know, you're uncertain or you just haven't given much thought to. And basically, the idea is that it's important to find the source of the anxiety in your waking life. And once you do this, you can usually release it. Interestingly, also, there are some dreams that are considered common anxiety dreams. You know, they're like, you're not the only one having them, so they're common anxiety dreams. Like trying to run to something or away from something and finding that you just can't move at all. You know, you're just completely stuck. That is a common kind of anxiety dream. Dreams of being pursued are very common and often frightening too. For example, a hunter in a dream may be an invisible presence, or even a monster could be there as an invisible presence. But there are almost endless lists of things that can chase us in our dreams. And shortly in the show, we're going to talk about how dreams such as these are actually called spiritual dreams, which again is kind of interesting. So let's go ahead and start considering types of dreams and just categories, and then we'll eventually get into those 13 spiritual dreams. But let's start with the good old nightmare. Now, everybody has had a nightmare at some time in their lives, and the nightmare takes place during REM sleep. So what's interesting is that the sleeper usually doesn't exhibit excitement during a nightmare, which is kind of interesting, but often does remember the nightmare. So it's more in the waking state that they may remember it. And a nightmare usually is said to bring to the surface or express, whatever word you want to use, hidden fears that we've had in our unconscious, and often forces us, this nightmare does, to recognize feelings that we've been denying. So you see, I learned that nightmares take the form they do, whatever form that is, to ensure that the content is going to be remembered. Isn't that interesting? So if you didn't have it in nightmare form, you might just not remember it at all. And I was also told that the scary characters in our nightmares, and this is really cool, in the information I told you that I had, the 7 years of dream analysis, but the scary characters in our nightmares are often aspects of ourselves that we don't like very much or that we are disowning, which I think is just really, you know, kind of significant to understand that about ourselves. So as a simple exercise, you could evaluate a nightmare, especially if it's a recurrent one, that you might have had, and just try to figure out what aspect of yourself is being revealed in that actual situation or that dream, that nightmare. Now, there is another type of dream called the night terror. And a night terror can occur at any time of sleep, and it's not the same as a nightmare. So nightmare is one, and night terror is another. The sleeper in the night terror usually exhibits physical shaking and sweating, and, you know, like they're having a physical response. And for this reason, the night terror has been seen as a releasing of trauma, which I think is just amazing. The dreamer also usually doesn't remember the content of the night terror when they actually wake up. So in coaching and teaching dream work, I've had people comment, one in particular, her child went through a stage of night terrors during a very difficult time, which was during his parents' divorce and the father's leaving the family. And this would have been a way for the child to release trauma from the physical body. And, you know, the body is said to shake off trauma anyway in this type of way, whether it's through energy work or dreams and so on. Now, there's another type of dream quite different, and that is the lucid dream, and that's spelled L-U-C-I-D, lucid dream. And in a lucid dream, you realize that you're dreaming during the dream, and it's usually described as a feeling like you're half dreaming and half awake, or you're in during the process of the dreaming, you are aware that you're dreaming, that type of thing. Now, a lucid dream usually emerges from your unconscious. It's thought to reflect a situation in your life that really needs to be resolved. So when you're half asleep, half awake, it's at that time that you have the power to control what's going on in the lucid dream. And in fact, the awakened dreamer can generate amazing insights and actually realize extraordinary creative energies. So in lucid dreams, the creative healing work is often dramatically woven into the dream and actually carried out that way. And here's just a little did you know about lucid dreaming, because it really is so interesting. In the Far East, lucid dreaming has been the focus of intense attention for more than 900 years. And lucid dreaming was seen as a spiritual discipline of the highest order of importance. And so many Hindus, Buddhists, and Tibetans believe that the discarnate soul after death is exactly the same as the experience we call dreaming when we are alive. So it's as though our soul is still searching and finding its way. You could also, you may be familiar, rather, with the shaman Carlos Castaneda. He was a Peruvian-American author with a Ph.D. in anthropology. And Castaneda started writing a book called The Teachings of Don Juan. I think he started it in 1968. And he wrote a series of books that describe his training in shamanism, particularly a group that he called the Toltecs. But at any rate, in his writing, he reminded himself that when he was, or each time he caught sight of his hands in a dream, so he knew he was dreaming, and if he caught sight of his hands, he set it as a marker to himself that he was going to remember that it was a dream as a way of creating the ability for lucid dreaming to occur. So that's just kind of, you know, very interesting and creative. There's also a category called the psychic dream. And these are dreams that deal with the person's extrasensory perception, or ESP. So, for example, it might be a clairvoyant dream in which a person reveals the whereabouts of an object or a person, or some other unknown information needs to be surfaced, so the person has it in this kind of psychic dream. And in some psychic dreams, two people communicate in their dreams with one another. So like I might go to sleep and be communicating with another person in an entirely different area or in bed next to me, who knows. But at any rate, that we're communicating through that dream state. So there is a special kind of psychic dream called prophetic dreams, in which you're dreaming of an event that eventually does occur or take place. And so in this way, the dreamer is able to, you know, predict the future events. So there are different approaches to dream analysis. And before we get into the 13 types of spiritual dreams, I want to make just a couple of general comments about dream analysis. Probably the most well-known approach, just in general in the public, is Sigmund Freud's approach to dreams, which involved the idea that dreams were wish fulfillment and always sexual in nature. So, you know, again, that is something that you can check out. Now, Freud had a student, Carl Jung, J-U-N-G, who introduced a different idea about not only dreams but other psychological teaching. And Jung created a term called the collective unconscious. And this was said to define a place that each of us can tap with, that holds universal symbols during our dream state. And he felt that we were all connected in this state of the collective unconscious through, I guess you could call it, a vast intelligence of universal symbols, and that we could access these during our dream state. So a person in India could dream of a purple giraffe with polka dots on the same night that you dreamed of the purple giraffe with the polka dots. So you see, you both access the symbol from what he would have called the collective unconscious. There was another dream analyst, Fitzperls, P-E-R-L-S, and he had an approach to dreams called Gestalt, which is G-E-S-T-A-L-T. It's a spelling for Gestalt. Now, this approach suggested that everything and everyone in the dream is a living representation of some aspect of the dreamer's total being and psyche. And even inanimate objects in the dream could be seen as alive and meaningful. and that if you were on a trail and you came upon a raccoon, you could talk to the raccoon and get information. Or if there were a rock, you could pick up the rock and talk to it and get information. So in this type of work, the dreamer reenters a dream and reimagine and re-experiences the dream after the dream from the point of view of other characters or figures in the dream. You know, if you're the rock, you have one understanding. If you're the raccoon, if you're the dreamer and so forth, the person walking through the forest. But it's just a very interesting concept to get at what is going on in your psyche. Now, our dreams can be recurrent. I think almost everyone's had a recurrent dream. It could be something that occurred in childhood, and it may often derive from childhood trauma or dreams that represent the repeating of an event in the person's life that needs resolution. So when a dream repeats itself unchanged again and again, it is safe to say, or it's at least believed by dream analysts, that it is the best possible dream for that dreamer to have in order to gain the awareness that they're gaining. So there's something very important about it. And also the dream could serve the dreamer's health and wholeness in a profound way if it's understood. So it's usually about the deeper layers of the dreamer's story. So I remember there was a dream that I think it was Marianne Woodman had, in which she was saying that she had a dream that someone was carrying, or one of her clients, I believe, had the dream that the person was carrying a paper lunch bag and was going down into the basement. And when she helped the person with that dream, she thought, what is unknown to the person? What is in a secret compartment unknown? And something about it for her factored into or triggered into the concept of, she wondered if the bag could be like the uterus or a part of the body. And it turns out that the person did have something wrong with that part of the body. So it's just fascinating how you can really get insight into the actual body or your psyche. Now, the 13 different types of spiritual development dreams are called the, I'll start with the first one, is called the chase dream. And in a chase dream, we're either the chaser or the one being chased. And, earlier we said that there was also a type of anxiety dream, and yet it is a spiritual dream nonetheless. So, a chase dream, even though it can be an anxiety dream, if we are chasing, whatever we are chasing is said to be a symbolic desire in our lives. And this desire is said to symbolize what we're trying to become or what we're trying to attain. Now, less common, we have a dream that we're being chased, in which we're observing it. Well, actually, the less common is just observing a chase. You're not being chased. You're not the chaser. So, in that kind of situation, that's considered to be something you're supposed to observe, something in your life that might be going on. But usually in most of the chase dreams, we are the one being chased and we're observing it as a witness. So here's an example. A dreamer chases a dog, and the dog, we have to look up, what does the dog mean? There are all kinds of dream books and animal books and all of that, but the dog represents loyalty to family. So it's as though the dreamer is trying to become better connected with family. That could be one idea. But let's say we're being chased by someone or something. We'd have to say, what is chasing us? And the dreamer is being chased by an elusive, invisible thing. Well, the dreamer is being pushed by an inner drive that's unknown to him or her. That's possible. Now, chase dreams fall into three categories. So we're getting ready to take a break. When we come back, we'll get into those three categories. But it is time now for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for Omega Institute. For more information, go to dreamvision7radio.com. And we'll be back shortly for further tips on dreams as a healing tool.
Join us every Wednesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living.
Are you ready to explore your natural intuitive abilities and bring more joy, connection, and vitality into your life? Join renowned spiritual medium James Van Praagh at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, for advanced intuitive training, a 5-day immersive workshop. You'll learn how to connect with spirit guides and access wisdom from the other side. Mention discount code DREAM for 20% off when you register for advanced intuitive training with James Van Praagh, October 20th to 25th. Learn more at eomega.org.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book. Have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
After narrowly surviving the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary, first grade teacher Caitlin Roy DeBellis was left searching for answers that would never come. Eventually, she chose to focus on questions that could be answered. How do I make sure this tragedy doesn't define us? How do we get our control back? Those two questions led her to found the 501c3 nonprofit organization Classes for Classes. When gifts poured into their classroom, she decided they would help someone else by paying it forward and being kind. This developed into a social network which allows K-8 classrooms to connect so that every student in the United States can learn these crucial lessons. Classes for Classes' mission is to build students' social-emotional intelligence by connecting them to care. All C4C projects are crowdfunded. Any teacher in the U.S. can visit classesforclasses.org. That's classes, the number 4, classes.org. Sign up today.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dream Vision 7 Radio. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff of the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for Omega Institute. Our topic is dreams as a healing tool. Okay, so we talked about the chase dream, and we're either the chaser, the one being chased, or observing the chase. But the chase dreams in general fall into three categories. The first one is called a search dream. Okay, a search dream. And a search dream, another form of the chase dream, search dream, we're searching for someone or something in the dream. And the action in a search dream is usually slower than a general chase dream. So what are we searching for? Is there something that is represented symbolically by the thing that we're searching for? Are we searching for a person? Are we searching for a certain product, a thing? What is it? That will be important to figure out symbolically. A second chase dream is a running dream. Now, in this one, we know that something is after us, and we're trying, of course, to get away. We're trying to avoid it. And our dream is keyed toward avoiding an oncoming situation. So in this case, of course, the question is going to be, you know, what is after you? Is it an animal? And what does that animal mean? Like we talked about the dog being family royalty. So, you know, what are you trying to avoid? The third type of dream in that category is a trap dream, and we have a dream of being trapped. And when we're trapped, we're not able to outrun the thing chasing us or whatever. We're not able to avoid encountering it, but you would want to try to discern the symbolic meaning of who or what it is that has trapped you. So are you trapped by walls? You know, walls could be seen as limitations that are confining you in life, that kind of idea. Okay, now a second type of dream, which is, again, the spiritual dream, is a flying dream. And again, I mentioned that too. So according to most dream books, all dreams of flying indicate a desire for high aspirations of one sort or another, which I think is kind of interesting. So, you know, we have to identify who or what is flying. You know, is it you disguised as a certain occupation, like a doctor? Are you disguised as a musician? You know, is that your aspiration? Also, we have to note how the person is flying in the dream. If you're flying very high, it's said to mean that your aspirations may be hard to reach. And if you're flying with a fear of falling, it may indicate that you do have a fear about reaching the aspiration that you've set for yourself. So again, those are flying dreams. But this is kind of cool too to know. When we fall asleep, it is believed that our consciousness actually leaves our body. And at the end of the night, our consciousness, some call it our soul, once again returns to rejoin in our physical body. As it gets close, it becomes rigid, positions itself directly above our physical body, and slowly it floats down until it's said to realign with the body, which results in that sensation that sometimes people have of kind of a sensation of falling right before awakening. And generally, we never hit the ground because suddenly we're awake when the consciousness reenters. So that would be one thing. And if something startles us during sleep and we return quickly into our bodies, like you heard a noise and you suddenly went back into your body, your consciousness, we may have a moment of total disorientation and inability to either think or to be in our bodies clearly. And we could also feel that our bodies are frozen and, you know, we're just unable to move. This would occur because there wasn't enough time for our bodies to realign as the soul is said to reenter the physical body. So again, just really interesting. A third dream, dreams of drifting or floating away. Now, the sensation of floating away when falling asleep is pretty much universal, kind of cross-cultural. It generally represents the consciousness re-entering or leaving the body. So it's said to be a spiritual dream. Number four is dreams of birth or death, any aspect of birth or death. Now, spiritual guidance dreams of birth or death give us the same message, basically. And that is, whatever is dying is symbolically interpreted as that which is about to change. And, you know, if the death is not of us, what is it of? And what does that symbolize about our lives in some way? And in general, death dreams always symbolize growth and development of personality and character, which I find really interesting. Now, if something's being born in the dream, you could say, you know, it's something new coming into your life. And likewise, something new in terms of growth and development of your character, your personality, and so on. So I want to give you one more death and birth example because these were kind of interesting. If a dreamer fights with an animal and the animal dies in the dream, no matter how it died, the dreamer is fighting with an unconscious part of themselves, and that part is now ready to change. I know that was one interpretation that I learned. Birth example. This is kind of funny because it doesn't seem like a birth example, but if you suddenly had a new set of teeth that were replacing your old teeth, you might be better equipped to communicate in that way because teeth are like a communication symbol. So what if the dreamer actually dreams of having or holding a baby, you know, whether you're a woman or a man, or you have or have never had a child? That type of dream is considered to suggest that the dreamer is reconnecting possibly with a part of herself or himself at that actual age. So, you know, I'm holding an 8-month-old baby. You know, what was going on with me at 8 months? Or what about, this is really fascinating, I think, what happened 8 months ago, like a seed was planted 8 months ago, and it's now coming 8 months to fruition, you know. And if you're pregnant in a dream, how many months pregnant? Like if you're 5 months, we'll go back 5 months from that date that you had the dream and decide what was going on at that time in your life. It's a very, very interesting. Dreams of illness, number five type of dream, disease, whether it's illness, you know, it's a disease, dream about disease or restoration of health. So illness or disease dreams suggest that there's an inability to relax. You know what's interesting about that? If you take the word disease and you put a hyphen, dis-ease, things are not at ease. You know, the body cannot keep up the pace. So pay attention to what is indicated in the dream as being ill. Abscess in the mouth, you know, something not being expressed, and so on, or something's wrong with the person's foot. But just basically, you want to kind of rule out there isn't something really truly physically wrong when you have that type of dream. Six is a dream of injury or rejuvenation. An injury dream would indicate, like a death dream, that something old may need to be released or something new is coming in. Let's say your right hand appears to be broken. So what's the right hand about? Giving, receiving? You know, is there a problem that needs to be resolved in your life about your hands, get the act of giving and receiving? Or are you right-handed? And maybe you don't want to keep using your right hand to write or to do the job and that type of idea. The seventh type of dream is fighting dreams. Now, all physical conflict dreams are about an inner conflict, it is believed. So it's not, even though it'll appear outer, and let's say you're having a fight with a person at work, but still it's an inner conflict as well. Family member, it's an inner conflict as well. So don't just, you know, write it off as being about that person, but maybe it's, what does that person represent in you, okay? Eight is dreams of driving a vehicle. These are always really cool dreams to me, but any dream in which we're driving a vehicle is said to indicate a period of growth and one in which things are moving well. Whether you're on a bike or you're in a jet, you know, it's still as a vehicle dream. And these are, the speed of the vehicle is supposed to show you your potential for action, which I think is so cool. Nine is dreams of being in water. Now, water symbolizes our emotional level of consciousness. So whenever we see water in a dream, it touches on or symbolizes our emotional state. And whoever in the dream is getting wet may be undergoing an emotional clearing. So whether they're getting wet from the ocean, a shower, a sprinkler, they're in the washing machine, it doesn't matter. It's all about an emotional level of consciousness. The 10th type of dream is about the dream of a sexual encounter. And go back to Freud's fulfilling a desire. But who are we in the dream? And what does that person represent to us that we're, let's say, having a sexual encounter with? But it is also believed that these dreams provide physical and emotional clearing. And they are said to occur earlier in the sleep cycle, interestingly, and tend to be less remembered. But on a deeper level, it is believed that dreams of sexual encounters reveal a need for love. So 11 is dreams of detachment and observation. So pay attention to what's going on in that dream in which you're really detached. It would indicate that you don't feel a part of something that you're actually observing, you know, literally or symbolically. Less common dream, but still important dream. 12 is something I think almost everyone's had. That's the dream of being at school or in a classroom scene. And maybe you're teaching, maybe you're learning. You know, you could be the student or the teacher in the dream, but either way, you're learning something. And the lesson depicted is what we are said to be learning symbolically. Now, I've always taught. I taught at three universities, so it's not an atypical dream for me, certainly, to have a dream that I was teaching, but nonetheless, really, really important. 13th dream is the leaving experience, and it's a dream in which we feel that we're going to leave this world. And often the dreamer is in a location that seems otherworldly in some, you know, is indicative of some kind of travel to another realm, whether it's conscious, subconscious, and so on. So to really summarize this material and to get at the place where, you know, we kind of pull it together here, we have to know that dreams are your inner guidance system. They help you to retrieve old information, show you new ideas, to point out conflicting feelings and inconsistencies, and really help you to, in ways that you could be hiding from yourself, allow you to see things you may not be able to see, show you ideas about someone or something, just show you an aspect of yourself. So again, pay attention to your dreams. Now, as we draw to a close on our show, I want to thank you for sharing your hearts with me in this hour. I encourage you to visit my website, which is heartliving.com, my Facebook page, facebook.com/heartliving. heart living. I do have a book that will hopefully be coming out before the end of the year. I'll tell you more about that on a future show. I do have a program in Norfolk, Virginia. You can check it out at heartliving.com this coming Saturday. But most of all, just pay attention again to holding a positive view and making your life worth living. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff Show. You can listen to my show on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday at 2 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Boston and worldwide. To learn more, go to dreamvision7radio.com for a full schedule. And Dream Vision 7 radio network is the media partner for Omega Institute. Thanks for listening. I wish you the very best.
Thank you for tuning in to Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff to explore ways to live a more inspired and passionate life. Gain clarity, balance, and purpose as Cynthia guides you on an enlightening journey of personal transformation. For more information, find Cynthia at her website, heartliving.com, or on Facebook, facebook.com/heartliving.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.